You have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here, back with Jessica Craig from Exit Well, here for the after show. Jessica, are you ready for more questions?
I sure am.
All right. How was part one, by the way, for you? We look at the clock, it's like 56 minutes went by or something around that range. How was that? Did it seem like it go by fast, or was it difficult?
Oh, it was great. It goes by super fast. Who knew I could talk that much?
Good. It's the fun thing about hosting my own show. We could do whatever and go over the conversation. I think it's just always fun where, you know, if it's valuable, if it's fun, we're having fun, you know, hopefully somebody finds it valuable out there. Then, you know, the time flies. Yeah. It's not painful. Only a few times have I had a podcast where it was very painful with a guest where I'm like, oh my gosh. Like this is rough, but I love conversations like this. Like it's so fun. I showed you my notes in between. Like I'm taking a lot of notes. I find this valuable. It's sparking all kinds of things in my mind. So hopefully Great. The same thing for the audience. For people tuning in, if you only catch these after shows, please make sure and go to the first part. I know there's a few brokers out there I've heard from. They love the after show more so. They like what happens here, but always go back and check out the first part. And then all your links for your company, for your website, everything will be in the show notes. Go to exitwell.ca, W-E-L-L-E. .ca. They can find you, Jessica Craig, on LinkedIn. But let's dive in. Let's get into these after show questions. So the first one I ask everybody is if we have to think about 5 years from now, which is now 2031. It was cooler when it was 2030 from 2025. But now that it's 2026, 5 years from now, 2031, what do you think in 5 years from now, brokers, intermediaries, advisors, business brokers will have to do to be successful? But in 2031?
That's a great question. And I think like the big thing obviously for everybody is AI. It's coming for everybody. And I think that we need to integrate it in a way that makes sense for business brokerage so that we don't get left behind. I think it speeds up a lot of things and we can use it in certain ways, but I think it will be very difficult to replace the human aspect in a business sale. The negotiations are where we bring the most value, and getting people to actually agree and meet in the middle and compromise, that's going to be the biggest thing. So nothing will replace that. But I think making sure that we're using AI and not being left behind, I think is going to be important.
Where do you see, because the second question I ask is what do you see the biggest tech change coming to business brokerage? So we could probably also put the AI in that category, but like, where do you see the AI tools available? And obviously we don't know what it's going to look like in 5 years from now based on what's happened just in the last couple of years, but where do you see it being used for good and not evil for business brokers?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. Again, like you said, we don't know where it's going to go because it changes so quickly. But from what I know right now, I think it can be used in ways that speed up some of the admin processes that we have to do, like writing SIMs or listings or things like that, where we need to get all of the information and put it in a package that's concise and well-written and that sort of thing. And then it takes all of the kind of guesswork out of it, especially because you can put in like the tone and the way that you want it to be written. So you can make it unique to your business, but still like well-written, and it's not going to have, you know, spelling errors or things like that. Like it, you know, it's just going to speed up all of that. You won't have to use admin people to do that. And that sort of thing. And then, yeah, probably within data rooms, I would assume it will go that direction as well. Just again, like taking all of the information and make it easier to comprehend. It could be, you know, finding documents that you need or summarizing information or things like that. I would assume that would be part of it.
Yeah. have you had any experiences so far on your end where another broker, maybe seller, maybe buyers, trying to think of where somebody is using it and it's not working well, or maybe they sent you something and you're like, this is terrible and or wrong.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes. I think we're going to see a lot of that, especially as it develops, like right now when it's kind of still new. This happened to me recently, actually. Somebody sent me a very well put together email. It had all of their data that I would normally ask for. It had a suggested price based on all that data. And they were like, I'm looking to sell my business. This is all the data that I have. And I was like, okay, looks pretty good, right? Like, probably ChatGPT helped you write this and it sounds pretty good. Like, okay, let's check it out. And then when I got into it and I started asking her questions, the if the input is bad, the output is bad, you know?
Oh no.
And so she just didn't know what it was really asking, you know? Like, cause she didn't have somebody to bounce it off of or what was happening. So she puts in certain things and then it gives her these kind of really rosy looking pictures, you know, and anybody who's used like chat or anything like that, it tells you, you know, yes. And
yeah.
So I think we're going to see a lot of that in the valuation space in particular, which is probably going to increase the issue that we already have where people overvalue their companies and then they get the reality and it's like, actually, no, this is not how it works.
No, and that is dangerous, right? Like, you think of people who are using it for medical diagnosis or medical help for themselves, you know, therapy type help for themselves. And then you think of someone who's just, I'm going to run my own business valuation through it or something like that, where you have to be very careful. It's trust but verify. And then to your point, it's a yes and, like, yes, this is great and you're amazing. And of course, everyone's going to want this, right? And so you have to be very intentional and put effort into using an AI chatbot like a ChatGPT and have it push back on you and be like, no, you're wrong, or that's not how, like, you have to want that feedback and be okay with that. And most people aren't thinking that way.
Totally. Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Like, For me, from the valuation standpoint alone, I don't really love those online valuation tools. I think that they are not very useful and they give people either an inflated or an underestimated value because the input is limited. And then you give that like over to ChatGPT or something like that, and it's like all of a sudden even worse. Like, just talk to somebody. That's the first step if you're going to do any sort of valuation work. Just talk to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, next question, when we think about it. So it's about to finish out March 2026, just to give a framework for the listeners and the viewers. If you're listening to this and thinking, I need this level of authority, I just don't have time to build it, that's exactly what Business Broker Growth does for you. Most brokers know that they need consistent content, better positioning, and real digital visibility. They just don't have the bandwidth to create it or the systems to keep it going. That's what we do here. We build that whole thing for you. The content engine, the visibility strategy, and the authority signals, everything we've talked about here on the podcast. So if you want to add impact without adding another full-time job to your plate, go to businessbrokergrowth.com to learn more about what it could look like for your business. 2025, what was a big lesson you learned last year?
Considering I like actually started Exit Well last year, so many lessons. I don't know if we have time for that.
You could pick a few of those lessons if you want, because it's fascinating, that founder's journey that you're on.
Yeah.
Which, you know, then correlates to like the clients you help, where they're at in their journey, and then where you started, you know, last year. So
yeah,
what jumps to mind?
It's been great. I think for me, the biggest thing was learning what I was good at and what I wasn't good at, because I came from a firm where, you know, we had some support on the back end, and I then was like, okay, I need to figure out my systems and my process to now do all of these things on my own. And some of which I had experience doing all of the things essentially, but it was like, which ones actually make sense for me to do? And what things do I need to get help with or things like that? and just figuring out how to kind of trust myself a little bit in that and be like, okay, you like, that's something that takes way too much time for you to do. Somebody else could do that really fast. Just get them to do it. Your time, like figuring out where you're best spending your time, I think was the biggest lesson for me in starting my business, in terms of actual, like in the brokerage space and the actual work that I was doing. I think the biggest lesson was to kind of meet people where they were at, because I'm trying to increase like the exit planning side of it, as well as the M&A. I found that I was kind of having mixed messages to people. And so it was like, okay, find out where the clients are, what they're looking for, and then pitch them on that service rather than the other, you know, because they're kind of two different things. And it's like really making sure that I know what this client is looking for before I get one-on-one with them, so I don't completely derail the conversation.
Yeah. And that's such a good lesson. It's a lot of times as either experts, like I mentioned in the first episode that we had, we're talking about speaking, and a lot of times like experts on stage or trying to educate can not be speaking the same thing that the audience is wanting, right? Kind of the, you know, the funny joke is more of like read the room, like what does the room want? And what you're saying, which I think is great, is like as an expert, especially as a business, you're like, here's what I do. It's tough because you might forget that part and miss the empathy and compassion for where someone else is, what they're looking for, where they need to be. And really I love, because it's a great lesson, which is like meet them where they are, or and then where do they want to be, because then you can kind of get there together, right? Like instead of like you either fit into this or you don't, it's like, well, I'll come to you, or let's meet somewhere and then we can progress, which I love. And then when I think of the first part that you said about your time, it's interesting when somebody's an employee of a company and you don't realize all the things that the business owner has put into place to make your life easier as an employee. Then when you go out and start your own business, how hard it is. Like I think of the book, The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. He talks about that, like where there's the person who's, yeah, they work for a company making websites. So they leave and think, oh, this is easy. I could just make websites and run my own business. And then you don't realize all the things that go into running your own business if you want it to be successfully, from the sales to the marketing to the bookkeeping and all of that stuff, the HR. And so you miss all those things. You're like, hey, this is easy. I'm just going to go. It's like, you know, in that book, he calls it the entrepreneurial spasm. So I'm like, I can do this. Like, this will be easy. And then you know, all that stuff. And then to your point too, which I love about the time and the value of your time, is there's two great books. One is Who Not How by Dan Sullivan. And another one is Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. And so those are really good at like assessing like, what should you be doing? What should you not be doing? And who would love to do what you shouldn't be doing at a fraction of what your time is better spent on?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's great. All right, so then based on all of that, so that was last year realizations. What about 2026? What are you excited about this year? Probably putting all of that in place.
Yeah. Just
doing lots of it. Before a seller ever speaks to you, they look you up. They scan your name, they search your LinkedIn, they read your last few posts. And in about 60 seconds, they decide whether you feel like a trusted advisor or just another broker. Most brokers never see that moment, but it happens every day. That's why we built the Digital Impact Assessment. It's a structured evaluation of how your online presence actually shows up in four ways: authority, positioning, visibility, and engagement. And if you want to know what sellers are seeing before they book a call with you, just remember you can't improve what you don't measure. All right, now back to this amazing conversation. What about 2026? What are you excited about this year? Probably putting all of that in place.
Just
doing lots of it.
Yes, exactly. Putting it all in place. And we're launching the course next month. So I'm really excited to see, like, I get a lot of feedback that people are interested in it, but I'm really interested to see if that actually comes to fruition, you know, to see if that's actually something that people are willing to do, as opposed to, you know, having that kind of barrier of contacting an M&A firm when they don't feel like they're ready. So I'm curious to kind of test the waters on that. That's what I'm excited for.
So let's talk about it. So what's the course about? Who is it for? What's the goal of the course for them?
Yeah, the course is, it's spread out into kind of 5 weeks of content, and we go over different areas of readiness. So personal readiness, business readiness, financials and owner dependency, and then just like kind of general structure. And so it's kind of a high level overview of all the things I talk about with clients kind of one-on-one, but very low pressure, essentially. It's like, you can learn all these things now, then you can implement that into your business as you grow it so that you are ready when the time comes. And it, and it's for people who are probably, I'm going to say anywhere, but like 3 to 5 years prior to sale is a good time. You could do it earlier than that. So if they wanted to, but I think that's a good time frame to kind of put those pieces in place that you learn and then be able to kind of set your company up so that you can sell it when you're ready. And it is targeted at primarily smaller businesses under about 3 million in sales, owner operated businesses where they really need to start thinking about pulling the owner out early. But probably that's something that's never crossed their mind. So that's kind of the target audience.
Got it. I love it. Well, most likely this episode will go live before then. Obviously, people tuning into this at some point in the future. What would be the best way to find that course? So go to your website. Is that probably the best hub for that?
Yep. It'll be on our website. And yeah, you'll be able to access it directly from there.
All right. One of the things about podcasts and videos, what's interesting is once it's out there, it's out there. And you never know what time and what updates have happened. So if you find this in the future audience member, check out the exitwellwithane.ca website. So you can see about that course and if that's going to help you. I'm always a big fan of that because I think there's a certain group of people that do well learning from courses, and where if the course is set up correctly, can help somebody, especially a busy business owner. Sometimes they don't think they have the time for it, but if it's something they can, you know, kind of slowly roll into and it helps them, then I think it's a great way to go. Not everyone's a course person, but if you are, I think it's valuable. And I think it's interesting that you're on the education minded side. And so you're thinking courses, same thing as I. All right, last question here. If you could wave a magic wand and have one marketing tactic implemented automatically, what would you pick?
That's a good question.
All of it.
Like, yeah. I was like, is that an okay answer? Like if someone just does it.
Magic wand to get more wishes from the magic wand to just
just all of the marketing channels.
All of it. Yeah.
I think the direct outreach is really useful. And so if I could wave a magic wand and have someone do that direct outreach for me in a way that really fits my brand and that sort of thing, then I would probably want that so that I don't have to do it personally. But it's one of those things that I think is tricky, because if you're trying to build trust with someone and then you phone them and you get them on the call and you build that trust directly, it's easier to do than if you have someone else phone them and then they're like, here, this is my thing, build trust with this other person. And then you have to, like, you know, it creates that hurdle. So I want a magic wand that would fix that.
It is very true. I mean, if you set it up correctly in the beginning with that person who's receiving the call, and they understand that, like, the goal is the other person, the future person, right? The Jessica is the expert, then it works well. I know years and years ago, I had a business partner, and anytime that he or I received a phone call, inbound phone call, business related, or we made a call and we spoke to somebody, whoever that potential client spoke to first was the one they bonded with first, the one they trusted first, and they would go to during the whole transaction. And they really didn't care about the other person. It was like, you either spoke to him first or you spoke to me first. And whoever they did, that was their client for life. Like, they would literally not want to hear from the other person at all.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know you.
Interesting how that works. Yeah. So you got to be careful with that. Well, I think that's a great request. I think that's an interesting one for sure. And, you know, making that happen. And I know a bunch of the other stuff you already have handled. So, well, Jessica, I appreciate you being on here for the after show, going through even more stuff and talking about kind of what you've been working on and even sharing some of the growth and the things behind the scenes that you're doing. But I also love how much you're sharing about you know, what could help business owners out there. Hopefully some business owners find this, brokers who find this and realize how much goes into exit planning. I think that'd be great. So again, all of your links, everything will be in the show notes. We've referenced several times. Make sure to check out the first episode. But Jessica, thank you again for being here on the podcast.
Thank you so much. This was lovely. Thanks.
All right. And everyone else, as always, until next time, stop hoping for growth and start building your pipeline. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.